Praise God for the cross. Amen. He didn't deserve any of it. He loved us enough to die on the cross for us, and praise God for that. If you would please open your Bibles, Luke chapter 7 tonight. Saturday is Seeds for Harvest, and last week and the beginning, actually 2 weeks ago and the beginning of last week, I really was doing everything I could to preach a message that had to do with Seeds for Harvest on the sower, on a couple other ones I was looking at, and I really wanted to do one, and God kept bringing me back here to Luke chapter 7. It's the story of the faith of the centurion soldier and his servant. If you'd please stand with me tonight. We're going to read Luke chapter 7. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. It says, "Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick." Tonight we're going to preach about for a few moments on great faith. Great faith. Let's pray. Lord, I love you, God, and Lord, I'm thankful for you. We're thankful for the cross. Thankful, God, for allowing us to be here tonight. Lord, thank you for your word and what we get from it. And God, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Lord, as we're in your word and we're in this story, that you'd help us, God, to get exactly what you have for us from the message. God, I'm nothing. God, and I pray that you'd use me tonight. Lord, use me as your vessel to get your message out to all those that are here tonight. And I pray that you'd help them, God, to set everything aside, to remove all the filthiness, Lord, all the superfluity of naughtiness in their hearts and minds, and pray that they would be able to pay attention, Lord, and receive, God, your word and your message. I love you and thank you. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated. There was a tightrope walker. And this tightrope walker did very incredible stunts. In all over Paris, this man would get on the tightrope, and he would go from tremendously scary heights. And his act progressed as it would go on. First he would start and he would just walk by himself across. And then as he get to the other side, he would add another thing to his act. He would put a blindfold on and he'd go back across. And then after he did it with the blindfold, he would get a wheelbarrow and he would push that wheelbarrow back across the tightrope and so on. And there was this American promoter that heard about this man. He sent a letter to him and he said, "Tightrope, said I have a proposition for you. I don't believe you can do it, but if you want to accept, you can come. He says, I want you to come here to America. I'll pay for the trip. And if you do this, I will give you a great sum of money. He said, I want you to come and I want you to walk across Niagara Falls." This promoter got a letter back soon after that said, "Mr. Promoter, I've never been to America and I've never seen these falls, but I will come and do what you've asked for that money." So that man showed up and that promoter got busy, promoted it and got all these kinds of people to come, had parades and had people there waiting to see this. And that man got on the tightrope and walked from the Canadian side to the American side where all the people were waiting. And as we talked about earlier, he walked across without anything, went out of the blindfold, and then he put a blindfold on and walked back across. And then he grabbed the wheelbarrow and put his blindfold back on and went back across the falls. And he gets over there where the promoter was, and he said, "Now you believe me? Now do you think I can do it?" The promoter said, "Yes, I just saw you do it. That was great." And he goes, "No, do you believe I can do it?" The promoter again said, "Yes, I believe you can do it. I just saw it with my own eyes." He said, "You believe?" Again, he said, "Yes." He said, well, get in the wheelbarrow. Story goes on, the man did not get in the wheelbarrow. Man said he believed something. And many times we say we believe Christ, we say we believe the Bible, we say we believe what he can do for us, but how many times do we not get in the wheelbarrow? How many times do we not trust God and what he has for us in our life? In Webster's 1828 dictionary, that's, for those of you who don't know, that's the King James version of dictionaries. He had a great definition of faith. He said, faith is an affectionate, practical confidence in the testimony of God. Faith is a firm, cordial belief in the veracity of God and all the declarations of his word, or a full and affectionate confidence in the certainty of those things which God has declared, and because he has declared them. There's a poem I found called What is Faith? It says, it is trust beyond all doubting in God who rules above. It is obedience without question. It is resting in his love. It is smiling through the teardrops. It is struggling through each test. It is the firm belief our Father is a God who knoweth best. It is knowledge he will give us, light for each step of the way, grace for problems we encounter, and strength for each new day. I think after hearing that and hearing the definition of faith, that we are here at church tonight on a Sunday night, and I believe that every one of us would say amen to those things. We would believe by those definitions that is our definition of faith as well, and that is what we believe about faith. We would find that to be true, and faith is possibly the single most important aspect of the Christian life. You know, the Bible tells us if we have faith the size of a mustard seed that we can move mountains. The Bible tells us if we believe that much, if you believe the size of a grain of mustard seed, that God can use us and do great things. You know, many times our expectations, our faith in God isn't near as high as it should be. There were a lot of people that asked me if I was nervous today. And yes, I'm very nervous. I was telling Brother David Adams in choir that I could probably fill up a glass of water with the sweat off my hands right now. I'm very, very nervous. And someone, they asked me if I was nervous, and I told them yes, and I was expecting some very encouraging words, expecting to say, well, I'm praying for you. I pray that God's going to use you. And they said, well, don't be nervous. We're not expecting much. Okay. No, nobody told me that. It wasn't any of you guys. It was my wife. No, it wasn't her either. Okay. You know, many times our faith or our expectations of God aren't very high. No, we don't say they are. We don't say that they're low. We don't tell others that, hey, I don't expect God to do this in my life. But really, in our hearts, we aren't expecting very much. How convicting is that to think about that? How convicting is it to think about our expectations really aren't as high? And that is on no one but us. So it's on no one but ourselves. And if we can will ourselves to have faith in God as little as a mustard seed, God says he will use us. As I was reading this week, an old preacher said in a book, we talk about faith, we sing about faith, we read about faith, but we rarely act in faith. How true that is. The Bible says something that's special about faith in Hebrews chapter 11. No need to turn there. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, we are not pleasing God. I want to please God with my life. I think most people in this room tonight want God to be pleased with their life and what they're doing with their life. But if we want to please God, we must have faith. In this story of the centurion and his servant, we find an example of great faith. The first thing we see in the story is that faith will be tested. Faith will be tested. We find in the story Jesus had just made his way to Capernaum. In the chapters before, you find Jesus in his famous Sermon on the Mount. After he had been done giving that, he went down the mountain there into Capernaum. People followed him down. He performed another miracle. And then he runs into these Jewish elders that were coming on the behalf of this centurion man. This centurion was a Roman soldier that was in command of 100 soldiers, around 100. And he was comparable to a captain of a company of soldiers. Many times these Roman soldiers, especially the officers, these centurions, didn't care too much about the people in the area they were at. Especially this man, he's a Roman soldier, around the Jews. There should have been no reason, but in the Romans' eyes, for him to have relationships, for him to love those people. But we find that it's an unusual relationship here that he did. These Jewish elders come to Jesus and they speak very highly of the centurion man, and they talk about the centurion man. He built the synagogue for them to worship in. And they told Jesus that he was worthy of helping him. That was unheard of for those times. We see the centurion had a servant. You know, most masters in those times would be considered to be a good servant if they didn't beat their servants or if they didn't treat them cruelly. That would be considered a good servant. But we find here in this passage, in both accounts, in Matthew and in Luke, that this centurion cared for this servant. He cared for him. I would call the centurion a good man, a good person. But we know that bad things happen to good people. No matter who you are, what you've done, trials are going to come, hard times are going to come. This servant was sick. He was sick of the palsy, and the disease of the palsy had come over his body. It had affected his nervous system, where he most likely couldn't move at all or could move very little. In the Matthew account, if we read that, we find that this servant, because of this palsy, was grievously tormented. He was in pain. They didn't know much about the disease at the time, and many people died from this. And many masters would send their servant back to the workhouse, or they would tell the other servants to take care of him. They may just leave that servant to die or send him back to his family. But this certain centurion cared for the servant. He was hurting. And there was no doubt that this was a great test in his life, that it was a trial in his life. We need to realize that our faith is going to be tested. Our faith is going to be tested. Trials come. Testing comes, an inconvenient time comes in your life, an obstacle that you may not have expected, or maybe there's just some things in your life that you don't think you can do. That would be an uncomfortable circumstance. If you look around this auditorium tonight, you could see people that may be going through financial issues. You may see someone whose family or someone very close to them has fallen into sin, and they're grieved by that. There may be someone sitting around you that has maybe been wanting to witness to somebody at work or wanting to give the gospel to someone in their family, but hasn't been able to work up the courage to do that. That's a hard time. You may find someone who is dealing with some kind of stress on the job, or someone has had some kind of unexpected illness come in their life, or maybe someone that's come to a crossroads where they got to make some kind of decision that's going to make their life go one way or another. Testing is going to come. Our faith will be tested. When it comes, we don't need to look at it as just a bad time or an inconvenience or an uncomfortable circumstance. It's a testing of our faith. Yeah. How are we going to handle that test? What is our response for that? Our faith will be tested. Secondly, tonight, our faith will be revealed. Our faith will be revealed. In every test, your faith will be revealed. Whether you have no faith or some faith, whether you have great faith or little faith, in whatever test comes your way, your amount of faith will be revealed. It's going to be revealed, first of all, in our actions. You know, this centurion finding out about his servant being sick of the palsy, he could have given up. He could have said, you know what, I've tried everything. I've gone around. I've asked doctors to come and look at my servant. They can't help him. I've waited to see if this getting any better. I'm going to wash my hands of this. I'm going to give up. I'm just going to let him die. He could have very easily done that. But he heard of this Jew from Nazareth named Jesus. Heard of this man that had multitudes following him, that healed the sick, that helped people, that said he was the Son of God, and he believed. He says, you know what, this Jesus from Nazareth is doing all these incredible miracles and helping all these people. I think he can help my servant. So he sent the elders of the Jews to Jesus. We see that his actions, and by his actions, that he was willing to request help. After my wife and I moved here, it was pretty. One of the coolest things about it for me was to be able to get to know family better. I knew them just from coming to town occasionally or from when we were dating. But I finally got to know everybody. And I remember one of the first times we went over to my wife's aunt and uncle, Joe and Terry Smith's house. They're members here. they had a dog named Foos. And this was a dog. It wasn't one of those little things people call dogs. This was a real dog. It can actually help you and protect you. It was a great day. And, you know, if it was standing on all fours beside you, his head was about here. Beautiful coat, very strong. Just one thing it didn't have going for him, it wasn't very smart. And I remember the first time we were at, one of the first times we were over at their house, we were outside for 4th of July or something like that, and it was time to eat. The dog, we were in the backyard cooking out. The dog was back there running around, but when it was time to eat, needed to get the dog out of the way. So I saw Joe get a ladder, a extension ladder, and he laid it down in the corner of the fence. And he laid it about diagonal like that and trapped Foos inside there. Now, I said Foos was very large. He about that tall. His legs probably went up to here, and this ladder goes to about right there. And when I saw Joe do that, I'm like, what is he doing? Does he really think this is going to keep that dog out? And it did. The dog, he would go up to the where the ladder was, and he would look at it, and there, he just thought there was no way on earth he could overcome that obstacle. It went to his knees. He could have stepped over it, he could have hopped over it, he could have barked, and it would have fallen over. But he saw this obstacle in his way and gave up. It's funny to think and laugh about, but how close does that come to home with us? We see something that comes in our life, a test of faith, a trial. How often do we just give up? Maybe we don't think there's a way out of it. Maybe we don't think there's any way that we could overcome that. I can't do it. It's inconvenient. It's probably going to be really hard. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Amen. Last night I was sitting in the living room, and I was on the computer, and Peter was in the living room there, and he wanted to put together a puzzle. And he brought the puzzle over to my wife, and she would tell him to go get a certain piece, and he would come, and he would try for about a second and ask for help. He would make some kind of noise, just tell her he needed her. So he would grab a piece, he would try for a half a second, ask for help, she would help him push it in, and did that with every piece of the puzzle. He asked for help often. Now, if I try to help Jackson with a puzzle, my 3-year-old, I sit there and watch him, and it becomes frustrating because he tries every angle and he can't get it. I try to go help him, and he does, no, Dad, I want to do it by myself. I want to do this by myself. I want to take care of this by myself. Jackson has faith in himself. But Peter realizes that he can't do it on his own and needs the help of his mom. When we need help, God's there. Many times we try to go through life and we try to either go through these trials on our own, or we try to back away from it. We need to realize that all we have to do is call upon God and He will answer us. Right. Call upon God and He will help us overcome that trial. Yeah. Our faith is revealed by our actions. It's revealed by our actions. Secondly, it's revealed in our view of God's authority. In our view of God's authority. In a proper view of God's authority, we see two things. The first thing is who God is. Turn to the Matthew account with me, if you would. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 8. It says, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. The centurion said people to Jesus, and he said, Lord, I'm not worthy. He called him Lord. That centurion soldier could have chose many other words, but I believe that centurion soldier believed that Jesus was the Son of God. He called him his master. He called him a supreme authority when he called him Lord. He knew who God was. He knew what God could do. Now, I believe he had a proper view of who Jesus was. Jesus tells us who he is. In Matthew 20:18, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." In Luke chapter 1, when we see Gabriel came to Mary and said that she was going to give birth to the Son of God, she says, "How can these things be? I have never known a man. How can I give birth to a child?" And Gabriel told her, "Nothing is impossible with God." You know, we may say we know God. We may say we know who he is, but in the moment our faith is revealed, it really shows us how we view God's authority, how we view his power. As I've said before, a lot of times when obstacles come in our life, we think, I can't do this. Or many times we try to do things on our own and we fail. Or trial comes and we don't see how we're going to get through it. It's a lot easier when we have a proper view of who God is. You know, God spoke the world into existence. I believe he can help us with our hard times, with our obstacles in our life. He knows the hairs on our head. He paid the sacrifice for all of our sin. The Bible says, we sing that song, "His eye is on the sparrow. I know he watches me." God knows all. He can do all. He should be everything to us, and we should properly view him as the high supreme authority in our life. But many times we neglect to completely trust him and his power. In our proper view of authority, we need to remember who he is, but we also need to remember who we are. The centurion said, "Lord, I'm not worthy." He said, "I'm not worthy for you to even come under my roof. I'm not worthy for your help." You know, this man was looked as worthy of Jesus' help by others, but the centurion said, "God, I am nothing compared to you." In order for us to have a proper view of God and his authority, we need to have a proper view of ourselves. The Bible says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." We need humility. The Bible says, "God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." You know, God isn't looking for brilliant people. He's not looking for smart or eloquent people. He's not looking for people that look the part. He is looking for people that are going to say, "God, I'm nothing compared to you." That make themselves a willing vessel, that are going to trust God completely, and that truly understand who they are. Our faith is revealed in our actions. It's revealed in our view of God's authority, and this is my favorite one, in our response to his word. Turn to Romans 4, if you would. So Jesus said, "I'm going to come and heal him." Centurion Roman soldier, he said, "I'm not worthy." He went a little further than that. He said, "Jesus, I'm a man of authority." He says, "I'm a centurion. I have these men under me. And if I say go, I expect them to go. If I say come, I expect them to come. If I go to my servant and I say do this, I expect him to do this. Lord, all you need to say is he's healed, and that's good enough for me." He understood the power of the words of God. Amen. In Romans 4, Paul wrote about the faith Abraham had in the words of God. Look at Romans 4, verse 16. It says, "Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him who he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. The story of Abraham, we find God telling Abraham in an old age that he was going to be the father of many nations when he didn't have any children. But Abraham believed God. Later on, after his son, that the son of him and Sarah had been born, and he was a young man, God told Abraham to sacrifice the son he'd given him that's going to establish his seed. And he obeyed. He obeyed God at his word. That was a lot of faith. Abraham believed and trusted in the power of God's word. You know, we know what God's told us. We know that when we hold the Bible, that it's the word of God. And by knowing that this is the word of God, and if we have real faith in God and his word, we're going to believe and do what the Bible says. We're going to believe the promises that are in the Bible. We're going to believe what the Bible tells us, that all things work together for good, that them that love God. We're going to believe that when I'm in that trial, God's going to help me. God is going to work this out for my good. We're going to obey the Bible when it tells us that we're to avoid these certain things, that we're supposed to live this certain way or walk in that direction. We're going to believe the Bible when it says that we need to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And if we believe it and have faith in it, we can trust God that if we do that, he's going to bless it. This Roman soldier said, God, you don't need to come to my house. I don't need to watch you do it. I don't need you to step into my house. I just need you to say he's healed. All I need is your words, and it's done. Where is our faith in the word? Faith will be revealed in our view of God, of the words of God. Faith will be tested. Faith will be revealed. And lastly tonight, faith will be rewarded. Go back to Matthew chapter 8 with me. You find Jesus with a response that we only see twice in the Bible. We only see Jesus being marveled twice. If you look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 10, says, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. That is one of the times that Jesus was marveled. The second time, if you turn back just one page, Matthew 6. Excuse me, not just one page, Mark 6. Sorry. You hold your place in Matthew 8. Mark 6, verse 5. Jesus had been, at this time, he's with his own people. He's trying to do a work. And in verse 5, we see this something that's kind of unexpected to us. We would think that they would believe, but in verse 5, it says, and he could there do no mighty work, say that he had laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. Jesus was marveled because of the lack of faith of his own people. You know, those most likely to believe him, those that you would think, hey, this is his own people, these are the people that know him, these are the people that have been waiting for him to come all these years, those most likely to believe, neglected to believe. Those most likely to believe that God can do something, rejected it. You hear people talk about childlike faith. Children haven't lived that long, but many children believe anything you tell them. You hear about a child being saved, a childlike faith, believing very simply, as salvation is so simple, believing that Jesus can save them. They haven't seen God do a work in people's lives as we have that have been in church their whole lives. They haven't seen the work that God can do. They haven't seen the revival that God can bring. They haven't been through trials and been brought out of them by God as we have. But many of us who are most likely to believe marvel God because of our unbelief. Jesus was marveled at this man because of his belief. All he needed to hear is the words, and it was done. And this is what he said about him. I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. I'd love for the Lord to be able to say that about me. I'd love for one day for God to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful to me. Jesus commended his faith. And Jesus healed the servant. Look at verse 13 of Matthew 8. It says, and Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. In the Luke account, it says he was made whole. Because of the centurion's faith, his servant was healed. He wasn't healed because the centurion was a good man. He wasn't healed because people said he was worthy. He was healed because of the faith. It made him whole. Aren't you glad that God fixes things all the way? Aren't you glad that when there's a trial or when there's a hard time or when we need his help, he can help us do what we need to do? How's your faith tonight? I have a closing story and I'm done. I remember when I was 11 years old or 12 years old, our parents surprised me and my four sisters with the ultimate vacation. I hadn't flown anywhere except for when I was one. I didn't remember it. And our parents surprised us. They took us to the airport. We all got on the plane. I had two older sisters and I had a little sister who was probably 8, 9 years old at the time. And I remember we all got our seats in the plane, and they told us to buckle our seatbelts, and we all had our stuff ready to go. We were excited about our trip. My little sister was sitting in the row across from me, and she had her coloring book or notepad, and she had her crayons and was coloring as we took off. And I remember as we had been taking off for a little while, we hit some turbulence. And that bump in the air caused my little sister's crayons and notebook to fall off her lap. And I remember her crying and screaming on that plane saying, I need help, I lost it. And everybody and all these people around her looking and wondering what was going on. And men beside her were reaching down, picking these up and giving to her. She was scared to death that I guess there was no floor in the plane or something, I don't know. But she thought that she had lost them forever and she was not going to do anything else until she found what she'd lost. Is your faith less than it was before? Have you lost your faith? Is it not what you think it should be? Right now, we need to do everything we can to find it. Right now, we need to do everything we can to get a hold of it so we can please God with our life. Maybe you're here tonight and you've lost your faith. Maybe you're here tonight and you would say, Brother Buddy, you know what? My faith isn't as strong as it's been before. I don't think my faith is one that really is pleasing to God. We need to grab a hold of it. We need to find it. We need to tell ourselves, hey, I need to believe in God and His Word and His authority. And I need to believe that He is able to do exceeding abundant of all that we ask or think, as He's told us in His Word. God is faithful to us. And He continues to show that. How is our faith to Him? We need faith. Because the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. How's your faith? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Altar's open. Maybe there's someone here tonight that would say, no, my faith isn't where it needs to be. Maybe someone here that said, I've lost my faith. Maybe you're going through a trial, there's a circumstance or something going on in your life where you really haven't trusted God as you need to. The altar's open. Well, we love you, God, and we're thankful, Lord, for what all you've blessed us with. I thank you, Lord, for this story. the centurion and his faith. Thank you, Lord, for how convicting it was to me this week preparing. God, thank you, God, for the simple illustration you've given us of a man with great faith. Lord, thank you that, Lord, we too can choose to have that faith. God, I pray that you'd bless us tonight. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to decide in our hearts whether we're going to act in faith, that we're going to depend on you and your authority and realize that we are nothing compared to you, and Lord, you can do anything. God, and I pray that we would believe you and your word. Lord, bless us tonight. Bless the invitation. We ask this in your name. Amen.